Welcome to our village board meeting. Thanks for being here. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, folks. We'll call the meeting to order. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
All present and accounted for. We have a motion to modify. Oh, I have a question. Should we move number six, the Green Bay Metropolitan Sewage District? No, we don't have to move that. Okay. Any other changes or modifications to the agenda or a motion?
The change that I give you.
Yep. Oh. We request change the name of the presentation 3B from to a report on Historic Galloway Society instead of Galloway Firsts. So we'll make that change. Thank you. Any other changes? Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda as modified? Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Genrich. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. Halloween hours. For all of you in the audience who look forward to trick-or-treating.
Are we doing announcements before presents?
Why don't we go to presentations?
Let's follow the agenda here.
Why do you?
Since we adopted it.
I was so excited about Halloween. Okay, why don't we go on to agenda item number 3, and we'll have a presentation on the new Water 2018 budget and future plans.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. I'm Tom Sigman, Executive Director of New Water. Got a short presentation to you, a little different than we've done in the past. This will be a little bit on budget and more on kind of what's next. We have the opportunity to be able to talk about what's next since we've made through most of the budget issues. So New Water, Green Bay Metropolitan Sewers District has been in business since 1931, serving this area. Alloway was one of our founding members of New Water. This is our picture of our Green Bay facility. Between the Green Bay and De Pere facility, we treat 38 million gallons of water from residences, businesses around the metropolitan area each day. The vision for New Water, which our commission adopted with our strategic plan in early 2016, is protecting our most valuable resource, water. So a little bit on the 2018 proposed budget. The expenses in a broad area, we're looking, see the 2017 kind of in the middle category, and 2018 proposed is on the far right. We're looking to increase operations and maintenance. It's going up about 5.4%. Debt service and annual capital is actually going down just a little bit, a little under 1%. And total expenses going from $39,107,601 up to $40,079,296 for an increase of about 2.5%. So how that translates into the municipal rate, and that's the rate that we charge you as a customer of New Water, and then you take your costs, put that all together and charge your residences and businesses. So what you see on your bill that comes from New Water is volume, charge, the biochemical oxygen demand, suspended solids, phosphorus, total kaldol nitrogen, and fixed charge. Those are the six parameters that we bill you. The total combined rate is a rate that we use for just comparison. It's per 1,000 gallons, and it's intended to be a typical residential household at certain strengths parameters. So you can see that of that combined rate, we're actually going down about 3.8% in the charge. One of the things that I'll talk about on the next slide is some of these charges in terms of changes are all over the board because we are doing an additional reallocation of some of these costs into the fixed charge, more into the fixed charge than we have in the previous year. Fixed charge is not a new charge, it's just taken from the individual parameters. And so that's where you see the numbers for 2018. Now, summary for the budget, again, I mentioned 2.5% increase in over total budgeted expenses, O&M up 5.4%. Our electricity cost, which is a very significant part of our budget, is up 0%, so that's what we have in our budget this year. It's what it was last year as well. Slight reduction in capital cost, and as I mentioned, our fixed charge, which is only on the capital portion of our expenses, not on the O&M, it's just on the capital, is going from 45% of the capital budget to 65%. So essentially, since we have to pay debt service, whether it rains or it doesn't rain, whether we get the flow or don't get the flow, we have moved over the past 5 years from no fixed charge to about two-thirds of our capital cost is in the fixed charge. We're intending to hold on that for a while and see how that goes, and it provides some stability and certainty to both us as a utility and to you as customers, because it really doesn't matter in the fixed charge whether we get a lot of flow or you get a lot of BOD. It's based on the budgeted numbers. And then, as we have done for the past several years and probably be doing into the future, some of our interceptor debt is being offset through our interceptor cost recovery reserve, which we have had in place for well over 20 years. So that's all I was going to say on the budget. 2.5% is about what we did last year, we are in the process of getting ramped up for our R2E2 project. We've got a partial year of startup in 2018. We still have some staff, limited term staff, that's going to 2018 be the last year that three of those staff will be on the budget, and that will come off for 19. We've not planned for bringing on any high strength waste to augment the electrical generation capacity. So this is a transition year. We're seeing some savings of power and natural gas, but also some increased costs for chemicals and other things for some of these newer processes. But we would expect to see further change, and I think further change down from our operating costs in 2019 compared to 2018. So if you have any questions on the budget, otherwise I'll move on to some other things that are a little more far-ranging.
Phosphorus increase of 29%, which results in an 18% overall increase. Am I reading that right?
Yeah. Phosphorus is going to see more charges because we are spending more resources trying to remove phosphorus from the system. So it is seeing more of the cost be directed to that unit cost parameter.
What are we spending more money on? How are we spending more money on?
Well, we have chemicals that we have to use to remove the phosphorus. We have power. One component of the R2E2 project is it's called struvite recovery, which is primarily removing phosphorus out of a waste stream. We do have an offsetting revenue that will come from that material because it can be sold as a fertilizer. But there are capital costs and O&M costs that go into removing phosphorus as our permit gets more and more stringent.
And for communities up and down the waterway, if they do a better job of reducing the amount of phosphorus flow into the waterways, do they pay less?
So you're talking about the discharge into the sewer system?
Yeah.
Well, the cost then to treat that phosphorus will go down. yes, there will be fewer dollars needed to remove that phosphorus.
So if Alloway does a great job and Green Bay doesn't, as an example, does Alloway get a preferred rate on that or no?
Well, you're billed on the actual pounds that you deliver to us. So if you give us less pounds of phosphorus, you pay less in total cost.
Okay.
Can you give some examples of what's moving to fixed cost from variable?
It's all across the board. What we do is we look at dollars are coming out of the parameters for volume, and it's really just a calculation. There's no particular unit process or entity that's moving from. It's just taking a higher percentage of cost that comes out of volume and BOD and suspended solids and putting it into a fixed charge component for capital.
So those costs have nothing to do with the flow of solids or liquids through the system?
They have to do with the capital that's needed to handle the flow that goes through the system, yes.
So those costs would exist whether you moved 1,000 gallons or 1,000,000 gallons?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get a better handle on.
Yeah, it's not a new cost. It's just a reallocation from what was directly based on volume or pounds into a fixed cost that is calculated at the beginning of every year by what we anticipate you giving us and then stays fixed for that year.
Oh, so it's actually at a threshold. You'll get to a certain point, and then your variable is after that?
Yeah, when we develop the budget, each community, we estimate how much flow and load you're going to give us, and then we calculate how much of that is going to be fixed cost, and that is going to be paid to New Water, whether you have a little bit of flow or a lot of flow. In case of Alloway, things don't vary that much other than for wet weather.
Okay. And then on the O&M budget, what's causing it to go up by more than 5%?
Well, we're seeing some of it is salaries and benefits, but that's not the major component. We are moving more into this adaptive management project, and so we're still finishing the Silver Creek project, which is funded significantly by a grant, but we're moving into starting to get us ready for working in the full-scale watershed by doing some soil testing and evaluations, and that is an O&M expense. We're seeing some of the chemical costs for the R2E2 project are going to be a little higher than we had seen, but then we were also seeing a drop in electricity and natural gas. So we've got some things that are going up and down at this point.
So with the project you mentioned, once that's done, there should be then, because that won't happen in 19, we should see a drop then. For that portion of it, we should see a decrease for 19.
Yeah. Okay. We will be purchasing less utility electricity and natural gas, yes.
And then the other, related to raises, what percentage have you allocated to give increases to staff?
Our compensation consultant just met with the commission last month, and for what's called a market adjustment, and that is what the consultant believes that the cost of labor is for our utility and our industry, it's a 2% increase, and then employees who in our what's called our pay-for-performance program who continue to make progress are eligible for some type of a merit increase as well.
Okay. So what's the overall amount that you've allocated?
I do not know the dollar amount. I can get that
back. Percentage-wise, I was just wondering, if it's 2%, sort of a COLA, but I didn't know what...
It will be 2% plus mm-hmm. Merit adjustments, and I'll have to get to you on what that percentage is.
Okay. Just wondering. Thank you.
We're done with the budget.
All right. We'll move on to some kind of talking about what's next, what's the future for us. I've got three areas that I'm going to talk about. One is our solids handling facility, R2E2, working in the watershed, and then also our interceptors. So R2E2 stands for Resource Recovery and Electrical Energy, and that project is moving along. This is a picture of our solids building, new solids building on the right with the silver stacks, and then the digesters on the left. Since that picture was taken 2 weeks ago, the white material is insulation around the digester that has been put around all of the digesters. As a matter of fact, the one to the in the background is completely colored and covered. So digester number one, the foreground, is not too far away. So they're making really good progress. Still have a lot of work to do, but it's mostly starting to get on the inside, making things work. The resource recovery for us, we're going to start with the digesters, digesting the waste that that you give us. We'll take it into the digesters, and then it will generate gas, a form of natural gas, but it's digester gas. We will clean that up, and we'll use that to generate electricity. We anticipate generating initially about 2 megawatts of electricity, which is about half of our normal daily load. We have another engine generator capable of another 2 megawatts, and that will come either through growth or through the high-strength waste that we hopefully can get in the future.
Tom?
Yes. Sorry.
How much is 2% of your daily?
Or two megawatts. Is about half.
Okay.
About half our daily. We're a little over 4 megawatts of power consumption. So we'll generate electricity. We'll recover heat. Recover heat off the generators. We'll recover heat off of the fluid bed incinerator that we're putting in, and then reuse that heat in the system. The other product that we're going to have that I mentioned is struvite. It's a mineral, includes the phosphorus, and so coming off of the solids handling system, we will recover that. It'll produce a sand-like material, which is it's called struvite. We have an offtake agreement with the producer of the equipment, who will then take that and turn it into a slow-release fertilizer and market it. So we have a revenue stream that will be coming back from that. The next thing, and it's probably going to be in early 19 as we kind of get the system, once we get the system stabilized, we will be looking, we're already looking to contract for high-strength waste, mostly from food processors, whether it's dairies or cheese manufacturing, potentially some breweries or other that have a high VOD, high-strength waste that can easily be broken down in the digesters and use that to augment gas production, so that would allow us to generate more electricity. And then the next thing we are currently looking at and will continue to look at is what's the next resource that we can recover. There's a number of them out there. We've looked at metals. We've looked at any number of things. Some of them are not yet cost-effective to recover, or the technology isn't there to be able to recover it, but it is something we are going to continue to look at, and technology has been moving forward at a fairly significant pace, and so we will continue to look to recover as much economically as we can, and then that will be used to offset costs. So next, kind of move into out in the watershed. An adaptive management is what the state has called our ability to work with both municipalities in a stormwater area, and also from an urban stormwater, and also rural farmers in their area. And so the objective of the whole process is to meet our permit requirements at our lowest cost, and also try to attain the greatest environmental gain from that. We are in the process right now. It's a fairly scripted process for the Department of Natural Resources. We are putting together what's called a preliminary compliance alternative plan. It's an early plan to look at both making improvements at the plant and also opportunities to work in the watershed and be able to evaluate which one is best for us to go forward with. For us, in terms of phosphorus, there is no do-nothing alternative. We have to reduce the amount of our phosphorus footprint for the discharge, and so we either have to do it by hopefully not, but spending a lot of money additionally at the plant, or what we're hoping to do is to be able to work in the watershed work with farmers and get that benefit without having to make this significant capital investment on top of the rate. So we are working with the Department of Natural Resources to develop a memorandum of understanding. It's basically going to set the ground rules for adaptive management. Since it is fairly new in this state, we're working to try to make sure that everybody understands what the rules are going forward so that when we move forward. You can see this is from 2016, and I'll show you a larger picture, but some of the work in Silver Creek was putting in what's called a structural practice, and this would happen to be a constructed flow area in a field. So in our Silver Creek area, it's a small watershed, about 4,800 acres, kind of in the Duck Creek. It's a sub-watershed of Duck Creek. We have been working there for about 3 years. We've got another 2.5 years to go. We've got a grant from the Department of Great Lakes Restoration Initiative from EPA to do work in that area. And so some of the things, and this is an example of a 2016 soybean field. So what you see with the green are flow areas where we put in grass waterways to be able to keep the soil on the land, minimize erosion as it runs off the field. What you would have seen on that field before those would have probably been gullies that would have naturally formed when it rained hard. The farmer might have plowed those up in the spring, but they would have reappeared. So with these grass areas, they're there year-round, not just in the summer, but they're there year-round as material runs off the land. And so this farmer, we had an agreement with him to put in that. So some of the work that was done in 2016, the practices kept almost 700 pounds of phosphorus from getting into Silver Creek and then Duck Creek, and about 2.3 million pounds of sediment kept it on that farmer's land. And that is not just an environmental benefit, but it's an economic benefit, since that farmer likely put that phosphorus down there as fertilizer at some point in time, and the sediment is what grows his crops. So keeping it on the field is certainly a benefit. One of the other metrics that we had in 2000, going into the winter of 16 to 17, 70% of the land had something growing on it going into the winter, some type of cover crop. And that was twice as much as they had in the previous year. So we're going to be starting to compile the data that we collected in 17 that would show the benefits of what was done in 16. And we envision that we will start to see some reductions in the runoff going into Silver Creek. We also had really good participation by landowners in this watershed. For us, the reason why we did the pilot for Silver Creek was to kick the tires on adaptive management. This is not our core business, but to see if we could work with a number of partners, including Land and Water Conservation from Brown and Outagamie County, NRCS, any number of groups, a lot of the nonprofit groups, as well as the individual farmers, and could we actually make this thing work. I think what we're seeing is giving us confidence that on a larger scale, which is what's the next step, we have a pretty good shot of making a difference. So what's in the watershed? What's the next step? We're continuing to talk with DNR. One of the questions and conversations is, how does new water work with municipalities who are our customers who also have obligations for stormwater reduction? And these conversations are starting. They're going to be complicated, but we're going to have the conversations to see how our customers can benefit from some of the work that's being done and also partner if they wish to. You as municipalities do have a different time frame than we do. Our time frame is fairly specific. It's on, we've got to get something going by 2019 when our next permit comes up. But we're looking to try to have the flexibility to continue to work with municipalities. So that's it on in a nutshell on the watershed. I think we've seen some really good things. We weren't sure when we started would we have this success, and I think we've had a good success so far. Getting ready for a large scale. Last piece that I have to talk to you about is the interceptors in our interceptor master plan that we have been doing over about the last 2.5 years. I'll have a slide that'll show maybe kind of the scale or context for interceptors, but New Water has the big pipes. The pipes when two or more municipalities come together with their local sewers, it's conveyed to our treatment facilities through a series of interceptors. Historical slide, this is probably from the mid-1930s. We have some interceptors that were put in 1934. We actually have some interceptors put in 1937. So we have some interceptors in the central part of town that have been around a long time, still serving a purpose. They are in, we are seeing that they need to have some work done on them. Just some examples of some of the things that went on in 1931. What you're seeing is this: the workers are working on what was the time, you know, a manhole and access to a sewer. So, I've talked to you about the American Society of Civil Engineers, and we don't ever seem to get better as an industry. If any progress we make is keep falling behind in other areas, but as an industry, our report card's always around a D or a D plus, which is not good. It is. I think you asked me the question a couple of years ago, where do we sit, and I think we're probably in that B-plus area. We're not perfect, but I think we're doing a pretty good job, have a pretty good handle on it, which would say that God help some of the communities that are not as well, because that train is coming for them. So our sewer system in Green Bay, in that central part of Green Bay area going back into the 30s and 40s, was designed as a combined sewer system, which was very common at the time. That brought stormwater and sanitary sewage together in the same pipe. Also a really fortunate decision is that after the Clean Water Act came out in the 70s, we as a community chose to separate those, and that has certainly been a big benefit. So now stormwater, the water that's coming off the streets or off of the roof of your house, goes into a storm sewer. It's dealt with in a retention pond or some other means, and sanitary sewage is kept separate from that surface water as much as we can. So what you see in that picture. So that we televise our interceptors. We are on a 5-year rotation, so about every year, 20% of our interceptors we televise. We go through and walk through the television, note the time, note the condition, note the issues, and then work to get those fixed. So this is a pipe, and I think they picked a pretty rough one that has. You see the stream of water coming down in the middle. That shouldn't be happening. And then you've also got material, whether it's roots or calcification, coming into that pipe. And so those are things that will be fixed. So what you're seeing here in schematic is New Water's interceptor system. It's basically the spine of the community. The yellow are our gravity sewers. The red are the ones that are under pressure. So the force mains. You can see that we have a system that goes all the way out to the far northwest. It stops there, and there's a force main from Pulaski that comes down. So we serve out that far to the northwest, as far south as De Pere, Ledgehew, Lawrence, and then all the way up Dykesville on the east bay shore. So that is those are the pipes that we own.
Excuse me, Tom.
Yes.
The 5-year rotation of the televising of the pipes, is that an industry standard? Is that something we've chosen to do ourselves that's better than, or has it changed at all?
You know, somewhere between looking at a pipe every 5 years and every 10 years is the best practice. We have chosen to do it every 5 years. Some areas we might not go back to for 7 or 8 years, and some areas we go back to, you know, sooner. But in general, we look at about 20% of our system each year. Somewhere between 10 and 20%, I think, is probably what would be considered the best practice to televise. Our pipes, some of them we clean, some of them are just so big that we don't clean them as often. But, cleaning and televising is fairly common.
Okay. Thank you.
So just for scale, so a typical homeowner coming out of your house, you're probably looking at a 4 to 6 inch diameter pipe that runs from your house to the middle of the street or the terrace, not quite the middle of the street. Typically a municipal sewer, 8 to 12, maybe up to 18 inches in diameter, that would convey the wastewater from the individual homes to larger pipes. And then New Water's interceptors tend to be somewhere between the 36 and 108 inches in diameter. Those are the pipes that we have. So they tend to be the much larger pipes and can convey larger flow. Oops. Could you go back to probably two slides from the end? That one right there. So, again, looking at someone's home, and this is probably what you're most familiar with your local sewer system. There's a lot of opportunity for water to get into the sewer system between the home and the middle of the street. There's more of those connections. There's a lot of those connections. And there's more opportunities for them to be misaligned or broken. And I know in talking with Craig, you have been doing quite a bit of work, both looking at your local sewer system, plus looking at the homes. And I think as we talk about from a community-wide perspective, we do at times have too much water in the sewer system. It can overwhelm our ability to convey it when treated. And so there is a recognized need that we need to reduce the amount of clear water that makes it into the system. I'll give you an example. In December of 2014, I believe it was December 14th, 2014, we had a very significant rain on top of a lot of high groundwater, and our Green Bay facility was, we were pumping, I think, 124 million gallons a day, and the sewers were rising. The DePere facility, we were pumping well over 45 million gallons a day, and the sewers were rising. From just an average day flow, the Green Bay facility is about 28 million gallons a day, so 28 to 120-something. That's all clear water. And DePere is about 8 million gallons a day, so 8 to 45. That's all clear water. So these are the things that we kind of know that and the communities know that we need to address. And that was one of the things in looking at our interceptor master plan, was both condition and capacity of the system. So in that, in addition to looking at the condition capacity of the pipes, the ability to get the water somewhere, we also have to look at what can we do with it once we get it to our treatment facilities. And to upgrade these facilities to handle more clear water on a very limited time basis is probably not going to be cost effective, because that's going to be very expensive for using those facilities a little bit of time. So, but that's one of the considerations that we have. So in this interceptor master plan we did, and we have worked with our member communities, including Craig Barron from your community, we are in the process of finalizing that interceptor master plan. We have been doing customer involvement all along, and actually this is the phase where we're going to probably have to do more involvement with customers when we start to make some decisions. It is a community-wide concern, both condition and the functionality of the pipes that come from the homeowners, the the pipes that you own in the street and the pipes that we own, Interceptor, they all impact each other, and that's something we've got to work together on. We did a communication survey with our customers not too long ago and identified infiltration or INI as the a topic for update. We have a subsequent meeting coming up on December 7th where we'll continue the discussion with our customers on the Interceptors and the Interceptor Master Plan and how we can as a community move forward. So with that, I am finished and will answer any questions you might still have.
Any questions?
I just wondered, what's the date and time for the budget meeting?
It is December 6th, so it is a Wednesday. It will be at 8:30 in the morning. December 6th, 8:30.
And no...
We've had meetings with our customers, and it's part of the normal commission meeting, and we have had... so far, no feedback, no serious questions on the budget. Continue to reach out to our customers, and it has not seemed to have been an issue. I do know that we've talked to Craig, and you're going to provide us some feedback, and I will provide that to the commission as soon as we get it.
think it's the fourth year I've been on the board, and even when it my first year, I know it got brought up, just the opportunity for people who work during the day to attend the meeting. They might not, but I think we want to continue to give people an opportunity to attend, and when it's held every year at early in the morning, I don't remember if it's at 8:30, 9 o'clock.
It's always 8:30.
I think I'd still just personally recommend that at least it gets tried. I think I brought it up again last year. Just to give people an opportunity to be involved.
I will once again forward it on to the commission.
Thank you. Tom, you had mentioned that the creek project saves 700 pounds of phosphorus. How much would normally flow into the...
For Silver Creek, I can't tell you what the total amount is that would go in the... When you put in these best management practices, there are calculations for how much each of these would kind of avoid. There's models that how much would be avoided going to the stream. I don't know how much goes into Silver Creek at this point. I can find out. We have been monitoring Silver Creek at various points along the creek for 3 years, and there can be a significant amount. And Duck Creek... is when Duck Creek delivers to the bay. So Silver Creek goes into Duck Creek goes into the bay, and I think it is probably the single largest discharger of sediment, not necessarily phosphorus, but sediment to the bay.
And if you were to take aerial photos, would you see a difference today than 3 years ago?
I think you'd see more green, which would tell you that we are impacting it in a positive manner. Again, those areas where we shaped it and put the grass in, they would have formed just gullies, and it would have just taken material. And also, one of the largest things is getting a cover crop on the ground to go into winter. We have one of our staff took a video 2 years ago in the spring as there was snow melt coming off of one of the fields. And so what you see in the video with her cell phone was coming off of a field that had cover crop, and the water looked fairly clear. And immediately to your left, coming off down a ditch from a field that did not have a cover crop, it was just chocolate brown. And the two come together. So we've got this is a small step, and we've got a lot of work to do. But a little bit at a time, we're going to have an influence and improve water quality.
So would you see these types of programs being put into effect along the East River as well?
I would see that as well. There are groups that are working in the watershed outside of New Water, the Fox Wolf Watershed Alliance obtained a fairly significant grant from the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, has been working upstream in Plum and Kankakee Creek, which comes into the Fox River, and they are, I just saw they have a proposal to start working in the Upper East River. So, yeah, there's groups that are working. It's a matter of trying to convince the farmers, because it is a voluntary program, to get involved. We believe that as we access federal funds, which have been available, and hopefully they will be in the future, that for conservation programs on cropland through NRCS, and that we can continue to help the farmers, and I believe that they can, by saving the material, the phosphorus and the sediment on their land, that they can have a net positive financial benefit to them as well.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank
Thanks
you for
being
time.
Here tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, we will move on to item 3B, Historic Alloway Society, the report on the Historic Alloway Society.
Good evening. My name is Al Martins, 829 Floral Drive.
Thanks for being here tonight.
Well, thanks for letting me have some of your time. The Historic Alloway Society was established in 2008, and we currently have 69 members. We're always looking for more people. We've got a couple of events scheduled in the near future. This Thursday night is the annual meeting at Heritage Hill State Park. It'll start at 5 o'clock. And the second thing is we're sponsoring the Legends of Rock. It's going to be at Wally's Spot, October 27th. That's a Friday night. The cost is $15, and it will include hors d'oeuvres. There's going to be Johnny Cash, Neil Diamond, Dean Martin, the Blues Brothers, and some guy by the name of Elvis. I do have tickets if anybody wants anything. On November 11th, from approximately noon till 4 o'clock, we're going to be sponsoring Pictures with Santa. It'll be at the community center. There'll be no charge, but if anybody wants a free will offering, we will accept it. And then on April 7th and 8th of next year, we'll be sponsoring the book sale. We had a very successful one this year. We're also looking into sponsoring some workshops or discussions. We may have to ask for the Village Hall, depending on how many people we have. I'll line that up with Trevor and Matt. But the first one we're looking at is probably going to be something about the historic lighthouses on the Great Lakes. We don't have a date yet. The person that does the presentation, we've been playing telephone tag with them. Historic Alloway Society has also joined the Brown County Federation of History Museums. That's an organization of 14 different groups. There's the Packer Hall of Fame. I mean, it kind of ranges the Railroad Museum and then most of the regular history museum or history organizations. I'm sure you know that Brown County will be celebrating its 200-year anniversary next year, and we are going to be involved in doing something with that. The Historic Alloway Society has also sponsored some of the historic tours of Alloway homes. There are quite a few things that Alloway, in its original names, was Shantytown and Menomineeville. That were some of the first things in the state. One of them was the first courthouse, one of them was the first trial, and probably the first jail then, because the person was found guilty. And we are going to have a newsletter coming out. The next one is going to be on the Ducharme family, and that should be out in the next couple days to weeks. And after that, we're going to have one on the history of the fire department. Any questions?
Any questions for Al?
Thank you for your time.
How do you distribute your newsletter, Al?
The newsletter is to members of the organization. It's not like the Alloy magazine that comes out.
Okay.
It strictly goes to just the members.
How do people get Legends of Rock tickets for the general public?
I've got the tickets. We've got them up in quite a few places around Alloy, Bellevue, and some in Green Bay and De Pere. Otherwise, Brad has my email and my phone number, and he can get a hold of me.
Okay, just in case we get residents asking, that would be great. Okay.
Trevor will be put up. We've got flyers. I dropped some off to be put up, but I don't know if we made it or not. I haven't seen them around. So
we'll get them up.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, all.
Moving on to item number 4, announcements. Halloween hours. Trick-or-treat hours in Alloway are going to be Tuesday, October 31st, which is Halloween, from 4 to 7 p.m. It's that time of year where there is no overnight parking during the winter months. No person shall park a vehicle on any street in the village between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. during the five-month period from November 1st through March 31st. The village administrator does have the authority to call off or suspend the seasonal parking ban, weather permitting, after March 15th. We're coming up quickly to the budget workshops, which will be held next Monday, October 23rd at 5 p.m., and Wednesday, October 25th at 5 p.m. Wednesday is only going to take place if we need it to be, right? And those will take place right here at Village Hall. We will then have a budget hearing Tuesday, November 21st at 6:30 p.m. during our Village Board meeting. It is a magical Halloween at Heritage Hill. Two Saturdays, October 21st and 28th, from 3 to 8 p.m. You can join the Halloween festivities as the witches and wizards take over the park. Mm-hmm. Participate in enchanting games and activities to test your magic skills. Fill your cauldrons with candy as you trick-or-treat throughout the park and partake in refreshing potions. Admission is $7. Children 3 and under are free. New Eye. New Eye is on cable TV. It's channel 4. And there's a website for New Eye where they ran basically information about the village. That group is disbanding. On December 31st, the service will no longer be available. The reasons are several, one of which there was some of the communities, including Alloway, were having a hard time funding it. And then also ADA requirements say if you are going to videotape any meetings, it needs to be closed captioned, it needs to be done in a manner that's 90 or 95% accuracy, and it's going to cost a lot of money. So all the municipalities, including Brown County, Green Bay, are trying to figure out how to do that in a cost-effective way. So Brown County's taken all videos down off their website. I don't know if Green Bay is, but we're all going through a learning experience right now on how to best serve our communities and get the word out via audio and visual. I will say that the folks at New Eye worked very hard to provide a service. It was a tremendous undertaking, one that I think may have been underestimated. But when you try to get several communities basically to run new television stations,
including the county. I think the funding, even at the level that we were initially funded at, wouldn't have helped it work, unfortunately. But the county and Alloway and other communities will continue to figure out ways to best get the word out. But I'd like to thank Troy Streckenbach and his team for at least trying to help use newer technology to get the word out. Let's see. Good news. We received an additional $20,292.28 from the stadium tax refund for several years. I don't know how long. Every time they do an audit, if they find more money there for whatever reason, they are going to allocate it back to the communities just as they did, using the same formulas they did back in the original. So the good news is we have another $20,000 to work with. Prescription drug drop-off. That is going to be Saturday, October 28th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here, Village Hall. I know we have this on our website, but you can drop off prescription medicines, pills, capsules, ointments, lotions, or patches, over-the-counter medicines, sample medications, liquid medicine in glass or leak-proof containers or inhalers, and there's a list of things that you cannot bring. So check our website if you have any question. You can call our DEO, Jason Vogel, right here at Village Hall, or send him an email. And his information is on the website. Alloway is in need of substitute school crossing guards. So if anyone is retired and wants to help, be on call. We need help in that regard. It's a fun job. You get to deal with lots of kids. And it pays $11.22 an hour. If you are interested, please call Charlie, our code enforcement officer here at Village Hall. The last one I have is, some of you remember that we have been talking about, or State Assembly Rep David Steffen had a bill to close the Brown County or the Green Bay Correctional Institution, sell it off, build a new one somewhere else. And our hopes were to have that included in this year's state budget. It did not make the state budget, but Representative Steffen also is running it as a separate bill. It had a hearing in the Assembly, and now there is going to be a hearing in the Senate. The Senate hearing is going to take place this Thursday with the Senate Committee on Government Operations. It's at 10 a.m. Myself, Mr. Lang, Mr. Fuller will be down in Madison testifying on our behalf. So stay tuned. Are there any other announcements from board members? Any other announcements from staff? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 5, public appearances. Is there anyone this evening who would like to speak on something that is not included in this evening's agenda?
Jim Moore, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was the former co-chairman of the Bike Ped Committee in charge of pedestrian affairs. Earlier tonight, before this meeting, there was a meeting from Grafe on the proposed new village downtown, the new sidewalk plan for Webster Avenue from Calb to Alloway Avenue. Looks wonderful, but I think we have to prioritize our money. There is a dire need for sidewalks on West St. Joseph Street. The new apartments that are going in there don't have sidewalks. They were required to accommodate pedestrians, and there was never a plan for there, and there's no plans to build sidewalks there in the next 3 years, maybe 5 years out if we're lucky. By state law, it's required to be in the planned development districts. to have safe and efficient pedestrian traffic. So that is a requirement in the state law, and we do need to put in sidewalks there. And so as long as you're looking at putting in a sidewalk on Webster, you should also look to see what it would cost to put in the Arboretum Trail, which is now just going to be a regular sidewalk on West St. Joseph Street. Also, that street, West St. Joseph, has a very, very low rating. It's got the lowest in the village. It's a PASER rating of 2, which is one step above a gravel road. So every time that a road is reconstructed, then it's next on the agenda to get a sidewalk. So instead of doing hot patches on the road, which are just Band-Aids, that should be done next year with the new sidewalk going in. And if we're no longer allowed to do take any land by eminent domain, so what I suggest is that if land is needed from the condominiums, that you just ask them for an easement. I'll let them keep the land, and the village go ahead and pay to put in a sidewalk there so their residents can get down to the Fox River Trail. Thanks.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on something that's not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 6. Green Bay Metropolitan Sewage District 2018 budget letter. Craig, would you like to say something?
You have before you a draft letter that we propose to send to New Water with comments on their budget. It is a little different than previous letters. It's not so much focused on the actual budget itself, because the municipal rate is actually decreasing for this next year, and we will actually see a small decrease in our cost for a number of reasons. As Mr. Sigmund pointed out, energy conservation, the power generation that they'll be able to do, and some of the other things that are taking place, the new solids handling system going online, which will actually save some operating costs. But in this letter, basically, there's two basic items. One is some general comments that are intended to be complementary to New Water. One centers on their willingness to involve the customers in their projects and in their project planning. And both New Water and us as customers feel that this has benefited all of us in terms of cost savings and in terms of a better water or a better sewer billing structure, which I think is more fair, and it's more fair to Alloy. That's why we're seeing our rate go down. And the second major thing, and that's been over the last 2-3 years now, they've really involved us in their activities, and I think that's been very good. They made a decision, again, it was requested by customers, that they utilize some of the reserve funds, capital reserve funds that they have. And their interceptor cost recovery reserve funds were in the neighborhood of $40 million in that fund. And this is an issue that's come up from time to time from the customers requesting that they look at using some of the reserve funds that they have in a more beneficial way to benefit the customers. And they've agreed to do that. So part of the reason why the rate for this next year is stable for us or decreasing a little bit is because they are using some of those capital funds. The specific thing that they're doing is using the interceptor cost recovery funds to fund some of the repair work on the interceptors. So they aren't borrowing money, financing that, and then including that in the rate structure. So that's a positive thing. It will be formally approved. This new approach will be formally approved in the budget hearing when they formally adopt next year's budget, which is the primary reason we wanted to submit this letter, to support that. I have, by the way, run this letter past the other public works directors, and they're discussing with their communities, and there's a general consensus. Everybody pretty much agrees that these are comments that we should be providing, and there's a couple of other communities that are going to modify this a bit and submit the letter themselves. The comments on the budget on page 2 basically are we are recommending the new water that the commission adopt the reserve fund policy changes as they proposed. We think that they should do that. We are asking that they make it a firm written policy so that it's understandable and we know what it is. So that is a request that we're making in here, that they do a pretty good job of defining what that new policy will be so that we all understand it and we understand how that money is going to be spent in the future. We're not saying by any means spend all the money you have. We're saying make this a prudent use and a reasonable approach to supporting the capital requests that are capital items that they have, because it's money we've already paid in, so let's be reasonable with that. The other item is that we are suggesting that with the next couple of projects that they have coming up, which are much smaller than the project they just completed, much smaller projects, they're more maintenance projects in their treatment facilities, we are suggesting that they look more at cost in selecting engineering consultants for those projects rather than qualifications like they did for the large project. Because there are several qualified firms that could do those projects, and we believe that that will save some money overall for us as customers. And the last item that we're asking them to consider, and this was something we asked previously, and they did start this process, but we're reiterating this focus, is that when they budget for their annual capital projects, they tend to put the money into the budget for, let's say it's a $2 million project, but they can't get the project done in 1 year. So it's sort of like over-budgeting. So what we're suggesting is when you budget for the small capital projects, budget for the amount of money that you're going to expend in 2017 and the balance in 2018. We believe that will tend to keep the rates a little bit more dampened and under control. So that's the essence of the letter. I think this is a good approach given where we are with new water. A positive response and support of their activities, but also some things that we want them to continue to focus on.
Okay, thanks. Do I have a motion on this item?
I'll move to recommend that we approve and send that letter out.
I'd second that.
Seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion?
Just one. I don't know if I'm Don Quixote here, but should we put in a sentence about continue to recommend opening the budget hearing in the evening as opposed to early morning? I know we've included that sort of thing in the past. I don't know if it's worth it to continue, so I'm asking for the rest of the board's opinion on that.
I don't think you're Don Quixote on that.
I think it's worth asking.
I would think it's worth it. Craig?
I know Tom said he'd mention it to the rest of the commission, and I applaud him for that, but it can't hurt to include in the letter.
Might I suggest that I want to send this to them tonight yet. I'll include that in my transmittal, so he'll have that written request. It'll just be in an email format, because I need to get him this letter so he can get it on the board agenda for next week, and then we'll speak to that next Wednesday at their meeting. And I can bring it up there as well.
Perfect, thank you. I'm good with that if everyone else is.
Good idea. Comments, thoughts? I have a question. One thing that kind of scared me was he said the phosphorus demands for cleaning up the phosphorus are going to hit them sooner than they're going to hit us. And for them, it's 2019. Yet they're just coming out of a pilot with ways to save the phosphorus. So either they do it naturally, as he was showing us, or they enter into a very expensive project
What would the expense of said project be? And is it likely that we're going to end up going into that?
Well, the project that he's referring to is, I don't remember the exact number, but I think it's at least $200 million. But
it's huge.
That project, they are showing it right now in the next five-year capital plan, but it's almost certain that it'll be moved out 10 plus years, maybe as much as 15 years. When he said 2019 is a compliance date for that, I'm not sure all the details on their schedule, so I guess I can't really definitively say whether 2019 is a drop-dead date or not. I believe that their schedule and our schedule for phosphorus are very similar. They're five-year discharge permits, but each 5 years you have to be taking steps toward meeting the ultimate compliance goal, which for us is about 15 years from now. What they need to do by 2019, I believe, having sat in some of their meetings on the phosphorus removal out of the farmland, their integrated plan to work with agriculture, I believe what it means is they have to submit the results of their study that shows that it's actually working. And then they can give a five-year plan for what they're going to do in the next 5 years to meet. See, every 5 years they get a new permit with lower phosphorus. So they're going to have to meet 5 years from now a lower limit, or 5 years from 2019, a lower limit than what they have right now, but not the ultimate number. So I think he's going step by step each 5 years. And he has to submit a plan for that 5 years by 2019 with the data to show that it's working.
Okay.
I think that's where he's coming from. For us, when we look at the stormwater plan that we're working on right now, which will be for the next 15 years, we have to submit our plan for 15 years and how we're going to meet the Fox River TMDL. But we don't have to meet it, and we don't have to meet in 5 years a certain number. We just have a longer time frame.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay, we have a motion on the floor and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. No one ever complains about lower rates. Okay. Action item number 7. Safe Haven Humane Society and Outreach Center fundraiser event at Green Isle Park on December 9th, 2017, and vendor permit approval.
Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion? Well, that's fine by me. Is there anyone from Safe Haven here tonight? Okay. Any discussion?
Can't imagine it's going to be a rowdy crowd.
No.
And it's a great crowd.
Those Christmas shopping things can get out of hand pretty easily.
I was hoping they would be here to introduce us to them.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 8, Myasthenia Gravis Foundation Walk at Green Isle Park on May 12th. 2018. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Second. Anyone?
I'll second.
Seconded by Trustee Genrich. Is there anyone from the foundation here tonight? Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Action item number 9. Action regarding approval of CSM for parcels AL-44, AL-44-1, and AL-45. I apologize. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion?
Quick question. On the plat sheet, the certified survey map, in the bottom left, when it's listing out the tax parcels, I don't know if the last one is spelled out correctly. I don't know if that's an issue or not. It says it's AL2453. I know on the map itself it's not saying that, but I just want to make sure we're consistent throughout.
Do you
see
that, Jim?
Further
down. Turn the page.
You're saying right here, Chris. Yeah.
Correct.
Yes, I see.
Mr. Proofreader. Way to go.
Trustee Hawkeye. Trustee Coyote.
You're right. That should read AL45. So we'll get that fixed.
And suggest a, I don't know if we have to do an amended motion with that change made or not.
Okay.
You can take it. I don't know. I'm asking.
Probably should.
So amended.
So seconded. Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 10, resolution 2017-32 in support of the Federal Historic Tax Credit Program. Mr. Ford.
All right. I apologize for not getting this in the packet right away, but it was something that we were working with a consultant or former consultants on some of our historic preservation projects on. There is let me pull it up here. This resolution is essentially just saying the vote is in support of a tax credit program that seems to be working and generating revenue for the federal government. A little background on this is they're talking tax reform in Washington, and part of that talks they took all the tax credit programs off the table to evaluate them individually and put them back on one by one. There's other resolutions circulating that may be a little more political. This one, I think, is just recognizing that, this is a program that makes sense. It's a economic development tool, and it's something that is worth supporting, keeping in with the tax reform. There's I'm sorry, go ahead.
This will go to be addressed to who?
This would be addressed or sent to our representatives at the U.S. or at the federal level. So there's a letter that was sent out back in September, and a number of business groups countrywide signed on to it. Some of the business groups, it was in the hundreds, but some of the business groups in the area were definitely up here, on Broadway. The Alexander Company out of Madison, which I think we brought up their name once or twice because they are the development firm that worked with that Laurel Hill development out in Virginia, which was that other former prison site that was redeveloped. It's projects like that wouldn't be made possible without something like this. You have other economic development tools that can assist it, but the tax credit program really helps motivate the private sector in investing in those types of projects.
And is there a move to get rid of the tax credit?
Only that all tax credit programs were taken off, and then they're going to be individually evaluated. So it's, from what I understand, it's not that the historic tax credits are being singled out or that anyone is against them necessarily. It's just each one is going to be evaluated on its own merit.
Bring up Laurel Hill. If GBCI were to be sold and redeveloped, would that be an opportunity for those tax credits at a federal level?
Definitely, yes.
Should we include something like that in our resolution?
Definitely could. I wasn't sure how specific to get, but I definitely could add that in there. I think on the third one from the bottom, I kept it general. Public property in the village is on the National Register that if sold would benefit from the historic tax credits. I know other municipalities are including specific projects. Other municipalities have specific projects that are ongoing. A lot of our projects are, you know, future. I don't know if the pump house on Green Avenue, if the individual that purchases that will be looking to take advantage of the tax credits. We haven't got to that point, but that would be another project that could potentially benefit from this program.
Okay. Any questions for Trevor? Do I have a motion on this item? I'll make a motion on this item. That we approve the resolution, but add something specific about GBCI and its opportunity to generate hundreds of thousands of dollars annually in tax revenue for the Village of Alloy.
There's a second there.
I'll second that. Motion?
Seconded by Trustee Gemmerich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 11, Ordinance 2017-09, repealing and recreating Chapter 188, Canvassers and Transient Merchants. Our message or our note says, due to door-to-door sales concerns received from our residents this year, our village clerk and assistant clerk looked at the codes of surrounding municipalities and found the majority included prohibited practices, which ours did not. Since we wanted to add this section, we attempted to clean up the entire code, and it basically adds that the following practices are hereby prohibited: calling at any dwelling or any other place between the hours of 9 p.m. and 9 a.m., except by appointment; calling at any dwelling or other place where a sign is displayed bearing words "no peddlers" or "no solicitors" or words of similar meaning; calling at the rear door of any dwelling place unless previously arranged; remaining on any premises after being asked to leave by the owner, occupant, or other person having authority over such premises; misrepresenting or making false, deceptive, or misleading statements concerning the quality, quantity, or character, or any goods or services offered for sale, the purpose of the visit, the identity of the caller, or the identity of the organization represented. And the changes were added to the ordinance. And I will then entertain a motion on this item. Trustee Green.
I would move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion?
Appreciate a lot of the hard work that went into
Exactly.
Sifting through all this.
Absolutely.
Very simplified.
I think it's clean. I would only make one recommendation and change that 9 p.m. to 8 p.m. I think 9 p.m. you're getting into students' bedtimes, you're getting into family time, you're getting in, and that's the last thing I wanted to knock on my door at that time of night.
I have to agree with that.
Yeah.
I'd amend the motion to 8 p.m.
And you'd second that?
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve while changing the time from 8 p.m. or from 9 p.m. to 8 p.m. And a second. All those in favor signify?
From 8 p.m. to 9 a.m.
Correct.
8 p.m. to 9 a.m.
I'm sorry. Changing the 9 p.m. to 8 p.m. is what I meant to say.
Okay.
And if I didn't say that, that's what I meant. all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you for your work. Action item number 12, board members. Any future agenda items you'd like to see added? Hearing none, we'll move on to...
I was just going to say, I got a recent communication from a village resident regarding potential hearing issues here at our board meetings. Really heard very few complaints about that, but maybe that's something we could address at a future meeting. I know Clarence uses a battery-assisted device, and maybe, and I think we have some of those available.
We do.
We maybe just need to make it more clear if people want to use those.
Okay. Thank you. Any other? And we'll then entertain...
Just one other. After budget are completed, so a couple of agendas down the road.
Yep.
I'd like to put on an agenda for the speed on 172 and compression braking, and when that's permitted, at what time to do that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Anything else? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 13. Do I have a motion to adjourn? No one wants to leave. Trustee Dart. Seconded by Trustee Genrich. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much for joining.